At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before we begin, a reminder to please rate and review our show wherever you listen. It helps new listeners discover us and helps us grow the program. On this episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly, after his unlikely NBA career, Englishman John Amici sent a shockwave through the sports world by coming out as gay in 2007. Net center Jason Collins followed his example 6 years later, and since then, not a single NBA player has felt it was worth it to come out. Today, we continue our Where Are They Now series with SI contributor Chris Ballard, who flew to London to catch up with John Amici to learn about his life now and to hear his thoughts on why the predicted blossoming of openly gay NBA players hasn't happened. I'm senior producer Dan Bloom. From Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio, this is Sports Illustrated Weekly.
I'm Chris Ballard. I'm a contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. Today, we're going to talk about John Amici and a story I wrote for the Where Are They Now series. So I arrived at Sports Illustrated in 2000, which was in the middle of John's relatively short NBA career. So I bet I remember more than most people. You know, he had like a soft touch. He wasn't necessarily a defensive power. He just seemed like a really likable, thoughtful player at the time. And then, of course, I recalled in 2007 when he came out. And I remember the reverberations around the league. I remember the comments, especially Tim Hardaway's comments. And that's about where my consciousness of John Amici ended, was, I think, the same as probably for most fans, which is part of the setup of this story, is, you know, that's 15 years ago now. And I hadn't really thought about him much, but I also hadn't necessarily put together the fact that only one other NBA player had come out since then in Jason Collins. And it had felt like, at least in 2007, that this would be the start of something much larger. So when I first approached John about this story, I looked him up a little bit on the web and I saw that he was a psychologist and he had a consulting company now. And so I sort of assumed that he would be pretty open to talking about this. To the contrary, he was actually a little bit reluctant. And I'm going to pull up the first Twitter exchange I had with John here. So he was very nice and open, you know, hi, Chris, thanks for connecting, et cetera. And then he added, I'll be upfront and say I am skeptical. I've had a couple of inquiries like this from major publications like yours, and they've all ended up being, look, he's still gay kind of stuff. So just letting you know, I'm not here for that again, in parentheses, exclamation point. I found that even more interesting is here is this figure who has been seen as a trailblazer. He's got a new book out. He's got a consultancy, and he does not want to be defined by this thing that led to part of his legacy. So I flew to London. It was mid to late May. He lives in Covent Garden, which is right down amidst it all. You can walk the theater district. There's amazing food around there. He likes to be in the middle of it, but he likes to be removed. And so John lives on the top floor of this flat. It's an amazing wraparound patio. And he starts work very early. So in the morning I visit, John had been up since 3:45 a.m. And he brewed 3 thermoses of tea, which he drinks from throughout the day. And he just told me to show up at 7:30. So I showed up at his flat at 7:30, buzzes me up, and he's ready to go. He's got his t-shirt on, which says, accountability is sexy. So this is how I describe John in this story. Now 51, his head is shaved and his finely trimmed beard traces his jawline before culminating in a magnificent white goatee, which, when paired with round, dark-framed glasses, give the impression of an exceptionally large guru or professor. John feels pigeonholed a little bit that he had this remarkable origin story, and he is now known specifically for something that he really has no control over. He's like, I didn't do anything to be gay. It's who I am, and that's what I've been remembered for.
So take us back a step. Who are John Amici's parents?
John's mother was named Wendy, and she was a British medic. And she had met his father, who was Nigerian, and he went by the anglicized name John as well, and followed him to Nigeria and provided medical care in the field as John fought in the 3-year Biafran Civil War. This did not go the way of his ethnic tribe, the Igbo.
This is a clip from a BBC News explainer video.
And on the 6th of July, 1967, civil war broke out. And it raged on for the next 2.5 years. It's estimated that more than 1 million people died, most of them from hunger.
By the end, John's father and mother were fleeing on foot, and they were eating grubs and berries to survive. And they had this very dramatic relationship at first, but when they got back and they started in the States, and then Wendy ended up going to Britain, as John puts it, his father became a malign presence in their life. And so Wendy essentially fled with John and his 2 sisters and moved to England and raised them on her own. So John grew up in Britain. And at the time, there were very few people to look up to as basketball players. He didn't play basketball growing up. He's a mixed race kid in a predominantly white area. He's also happens to be quite tall at a young age. And so he sticks out, not tall and super athletic. Rather, he, as he describes it, was sort of nerdy and fat.
Here's John Amici speaking to the Oxford Union in 2015.
Our identity is not just made up of stuff that fulminates and kind of emerges over time, but our identity is actually made up of reflections of how the people around us see us. We reflect back what we see of other people in our faces. And so everywhere I went, this monster was reflected back. It was a really strange experience.
And so he became a bit of a recluse and pulled into books, and he loved science fiction. He didn't really find his place until midway through the equivalent of high school there, when someone noticed that here's this 6'8 guy, let's get him on the basketball court. He tried it out. He said his first shot was either an air ball or hit the side of the backboard, but he was able to relatively quickly become proficient in basketball. people had always expected him to play rugby or football, and that wasn't his skill set. But suddenly, here was a place where he was wanted. John sets out, he calls it the plan. He's like, I'm going to make the NBA. His mom supports him, and he ends up making his way to a prep school in Ohio. And then from there, Penn State. And at Penn State, he sets the school record for block shots. Fast forward to 1995, and he is starting as an undrafted free agent for the Cleveland Cavaliers on opening night.
Amici spent 2 years at Penn State and was tipped for the draft, but in the end wasn't picked. Then just before the start of last season, he got a call from the Cleveland Cavaliers. The dream had come true.
John said that it was Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon were the only two players who had made such a rapid ascent, picking up a ball and then within 7 years starting in the NBA. And he said, obviously, I'm a shadow of those players. But here's this really unlikely set of circumstances, and his work ethic and powering through gets him to the NBA, and he ends up staying there and making a living and making an impact. And that's the origin story that he wishes, I think, is told a little bit more.
Doc Rivers is a character who shows up pretty prominently in your story. He was John's coach in Orlando and seemed to be a pretty big key to him having success in the NBA.
You can always tell how much a player or coach really likes another player or coach by how quickly they respond to your request to speak about them. And so with Doc Rivers, I texted him about John Amici, someone that he coached more than 20 years ago, and Doc got back to me almost immediately. Doc loved that team. It was his first team. You know, he ended up getting a coach of the year, so I think that's part of it, the fond memories. It was really a group of no-names and gritty players, you know, Bo Outlaw, Daryl Armstrong, team that wasn't expected to do anything, and John Amici fit right into that. He was a positive locker room presence, and Doc recalled how he knew he could play a little, but he was pleasantly surprised by just how talented Amici was. This was, I think, would be the peak of his career as a player.
I'm fascinated by this other moment that happens in your story. It's the year 2000. John is suddenly getting noticed by the cream of the league, and no less than the Lakers are wooing him. They put a 6-year, $17 million deal, and this is $17 million in 2000, in front of John Amici. What did he do?
He either would have been playing alongside Shaq as a power forward or backing up Shaquille O'Neal. He would have been playing for Phil Jackson. Jerry West would have been his GM. It's sort of everything that a player who's grown up idolizing NBA royalty would dream about doing. And John Amici thinks about it for a while and ends up deciding to come back to Orlando, and he turns down this 6-year, $17 million contract and instead signs for 1 year with the Magic for $600,000. Who does that, right? Especially because the Magic were up and coming, but they weren't great. And Amici, you know, at the time, this is how he described it. He said, when people ask me what my word is worth, I can say at least $17 million. And, you know, obviously 20 years have passed. He looks back on it now and has a different perspective. But essentially what it was here was this team that had taken a chance on him after playing with the Cavs. Amici ended up overseas, and it was Doc Rivers and the Magic who gave him his second chance in the NBA. He loved the team. He loved the camaraderie. He never thought basketball was the end-all, be-all for him, and he never thought money was the end-all, be-all for him. So his logic was, I can go chase this other thing, or I can stay with this group where I feel comfortable, that believed in me, that counted on me. And I think implicit in this was that after that year, he would be signed to another contract by the Magic. Now, that did not happen. And I think some players would end up getting incredibly bitter about that. And I think John's had a little bit of bitterness about that. He was able to sign somewhere else. If you're in his flat in London, there are very few reminders of his career. Even during his career, he would talk about how he didn't want to do this for that long, that he didn't want to be defined by basketball. And so by that same token, playing for the Lakers and making more money was not where it might be for some people that might be the end goal. It certainly wasn't John's. He wanted to leave the NBA and become a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the passage that starts the story. In relating how he got where he is today, John Amici likes to tell a story. The year was 1999, and Amici, then a center for the Magic, was considered by teammates and much of the league to be something of an odd duck. One of the first British NBA players, he drank tea, eschewed partying, and read psychology textbooks on the team plane, studying toward a degree, while others played cards. One evening, as he was sitting at a four-top table on the team flight, eating catered P.F. Chang's and typing away on a primitive laptop, a teammate sat down with him. Amici closed his computer, surprised. "Hey," he said. The teammate looked at Amici, then declared, "My girlfriend doesn't like my wife very much." That was it, no preamble. So Amici did his best to help. "I shudder to think what I told him," says Amici, "because I know I was shit as a therapist back then. Knowing the right thing to say and the thing to shut up about, how much to let the pauses breathe. It's something you pick up over time. You don't really get it at first because you think therapy is advice. It's not that. It's asking people questions, noticing things." Amici kept at it though. By the time he retired from the NBA in 2003, after 5 seasons split between the Cavs, the Magic, and the Jazz, he was on his way to receiving his doctorate and embarking upon a second career far from the court, as he'd always planned. On his way out the door, Amici decided to stir the pot a bit. So in 2007, John co-wrote a book about his career, and it's called Man in the Middle. And this book was, if you read it, there's a lot in there. It tells the origin story that I referenced earlier. It gets into some of his experience in the league and also tells his story as a gay man, not just in the NBA, but from the time during his teen years when he starts to understand his identity up through what it was like in college, the very freighted decisions he had to make as he went. Can I go out in a city? If I'm visiting a city on the road, all the players go out. Can I go out? Because what if someone sees me at a gay bar, right? So it covers all this. And it also obviously talks about his experience in the NBA. John provided a lot of depth and detail. And then he went on ESPN Outside the Lines. And that was sort of the release of the book and the news break.
This week he came out in his new book, Man in the Middle, disclosing that he's gay.
The coming out process is not... Sometimes people think of it as this very defined thing. You wake up one morning, you throw up your window and you yell to the world. It isn't that for most people. It's a very personal and gradual process.
So, of course, most people didn't read the whole book, especially fellow NBA players. And the immediate reaction was, if you look back, it was I'd say, largely positive in the culture in general. And then in the NBA, there were certainly, I'm sure, players who didn't care. But those weren't the ones who made the news. The ones that made the news, for the most part, were those who had issues with it. Shavlik Randolph said he didn't care as long as you don't put that gayness on me. But it was Tim Hardaway who ended up providing the response that really stuck with people.
Tim Hardaway, last question before we let you go. How do you deal with a gay teammate?
First of all, I wouldn't want him on my team. And second of all, you know, if he was on my team, I would, you know, really distance myself from him because I don't think that's right.
You know that what you're saying there, though, Timmy, is flatly homophobic, right? It's just flat, it's bigotry.
Well, you know, I hate gay people.
Only an idiot would imagine they're not already around gay people. So it seemed really odd that he would say it within sports. I mean, he's already played with gay people, which is just ridiculous.
This trailed Tim Hardaway for pretty much until now. Just this year was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And for many years, he felt as though, or at least he publicly said, that it was these comments to the Dan Le Batard show, which he did try to walk back within 24 hours, but obviously that had very little effect at the time, that had affected his ability to get a job, to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, I think there was a jump that's unfair to NBA players that, oh, this is what a lot of NBA players were probably thinking at the time. And we can't make that jump, obviously. But the thing was, you know, Hardaway was just the only one who said it out loud. And so I think that ended up also being stamped in our consciousness.
How does John Amici go from playing in the NBA to being a fully trained and practicing psychologist?
So John knew he wanted to go into psychology even before his time in the NBA. And so he was studying while he was a player. He began his coursework, and the series of steps after that included a distance learning program, which he could do while he was in the league. So after retiring, Amici puts in thousands of hours of required training. He studied family therapy, and then he specialized in organizational psychology. He ends up earning all these accreditations from the British Psychological Society. He picks up a host of other titles, including becoming a fellow for the Royal Society for Public Health. And he founded a psychology-based consulting firm, which is now known as APS Intelligence. He works with businesses across Europe. They focus on teamwork, leadership, efficiency, diversity, inclusion. He has two offices. He has a book. He has a podcast. He works with a number of relatively high-level companies in Europe. So I'd say overall, it has been successful. He has this presence to him that definitely comes across virtually, but even more so in person because he's so eloquent. He's so thoughtful, partly because of his personality and partly because of his training. When he's listening to you, it's a very active listening. I guess the way to put it is the world sort of blots out and the conversation you're having with John becomes the only thing, which is obviously what the best interviewers and talk show hosts, I'm sure, do as well. But John's very adept at this. And so a lot of what I did was watching him do this and then having our conversations and trying to hit on his life, his approach, and then obviously, finally, you know, his thoughts on why things haven't changed. All right, here's another excerpt from this story. This is about the context of gay athletes in sports. Eventually, by the turn of the century, the NBA remained one of the only two holdouts among major American men's team sports, along with the NHL. Then Amici broke that barrier. 6 years later, in 2013, Jason Collins became the second NBA player and the first active one to come out. And with that, the floodgates opened. As the culture shifted and as the courts legalized same-sex marriage and as out athletes became commonplace, the most progressive major men's sports league in the U.S. led the way. Just kidding. That's what you might have expected. Instead, in 2022, Collins and Amici remain the only two NBA players to have come out publicly, which leads to the obvious question, why?
So, Chris, you flew to London, you met with John Amici, you wrote this entire article. What do you think is the answer?
I think it's different if you talk about, for example, women's soccer. If you talk about other sports where it's not even news now at this point, which is what most sports are probably aiming to get to at some point. And the NBA seems to come down to a few factors. Talking to Doc Rivers, his thought was, you know, it's still largely about money and precedence. Because there haven't been players coming out, and it's been now 9 years since Jason Collins comes out, there's a huge unknown there. If I come out, how does it affect my next contract? Even if someone had come out a couple of years ago, it's really going to be one of those things, chicken and egg. So when the next player comes out, if he potentially signs a big deal somewhere and no one cares, or maybe even helps his marketability, boom, that helps from that financial perspective. If the average NBA player only has a 3 to 4 year career, and that's the majority of their earning potential for their life, and this disclosure cuts a year off your deal, or you fear it might, the risk reward is not necessarily there. So that's sort of the financial argument for this. You know, John Amici says that's not the right question. Why are we asking why more players haven't come out? Why is it on the players to do this? And I'm going to read one of his quotes here. So what John told me when I started asking this question was, if it's just about being able to point to a gay person, I'm not sure that's a good sign of progress, really. John went on, he said, there are a lot of gay players in the league. They are well known to their teammates, at least some of them, and their friends. And some of their partners are also well known to family and friends in the family and friends room. If what we mean is that no journalist has permission to talk about their sexuality, then that is true. But it's a weird workplace, right? And he made an analogy at the time to me about Microsoft. If you work for Microsoft, you don't have to stand up on your desk and announce to the whole room, hey, I'm gay. And in that case, maybe you'd have 40 people in the room. In this case, you're asking an NBA player, expecting at some point, an audience of millions of people to stand up. He's like, that's weird. He's like, people aren't in the closet just because you don't know they're gay. People haven't earned the right to know. Fat bloke, front seat, 12C, you haven't earned the right to know. You just yelled obscenities at me for missing a free throw. You don't know me at all. So John's point was, this is something you're earned. If people trust you, they tell you things about themselves. This isn't a job requirement. And so the culture around the game, in John's view, and I think he's right on this, is probably what needs to change. If there are still team owners, we still have a culture around the game. We have fans around the game that is not going to make it a conducive environment, and someone won't feel necessarily safe, or there won't be a positive experience for them to come out, then why do we expect them to take this chance when they don't need to? I think that's his overarching point, is the culture around this needs to change rather than the players. This isn't about a player not deciding to come out. It's about the American culture and the sports culture. And then at one point, John got really fired up talking about this. And this is the thing that really resonated for me. He said, you want gay people to come out? Change the assholes around them. And not just the teammates, because they mostly don't care, but equipment managers and weight coaches and administrators and team owners, who we all know are a progressive group. And obviously he's being sarcastic there. And the overarching organizations, one of which has just finished constructively dismissing an athlete for taking a knee. Yeah, that's a safe place to come out. It's the weakest of organizations that say the lack of out athletes is about stupid jocks who would beat you up in the locker room. This was his main point here. We're focusing on the wrong people. You want gay people to come out? Make it so it's not so Make it so that someone can still look at you and see what you've achieved. Then maybe people will deserve that disclosure.
We travel in amazing planes, right? So each team has their own plane. And I was on the plane one day, I was studying for my doctorate. And then one of the players, a guy called Monty Williams, he came up and I'm typing away and he looks at me and he kind of just leans against the chair and says, "So Meech, you don't talk much about women." And I said to him, "Indeed." And he looked at me and said, cool, good talk. And then walked away. And that was it. That was it. So there are plenty of people out in that same way amongst their teams and even amongst some parts of their teams and not others. They're just not out to the universe.
He's a fascinating guy. But my challenge was to try to weave these two contextual threads together. You know, John's life, which has been largely outside of basketball, and what he represents as far as a gay athlete and someone in the sports world. And so this is how I ended up deciding to end the story. Where is John Amici now? The better question might be, who is John Amici now? Because the answer is certainly not retired NBA player. Rather, he's a psychologist, executive, mentor, instigator, and Star Wars fan. He's either a truth teller or a liberal windbag, depending on who's doing the labeling. He's an introvert and a ponderer and a man who misses his mother every day. And in sports, men's sports anyway, he's a symbol of a world that felt like it was changing, but maybe hasn't changed that much at all.
Chris Ballard, thank you so much for your work and thanks for being with us today.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
Chris Ballard is a longtime writer for Sports Illustrated and a current contributor. You can find a link to his article about John Amici in our show notes. Thanks for listening, and as a reminder, please rate and review our show. It helps people find us. Sports Illustrated Weekly is a production of Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows. And for more of Sports Illustrated's best stories and podcasts, visit us at si.com. This episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly was produced by Jessica Yarmosky, Jordan Rizzieri, and Isaac Lee, who is also our sound engineer. Our senior producer is Dan Bloom, that's me. Our executive producers are Scott Brody and John Gonzalez. Our theme song is by Nolan Schneider. And stay tuned for the rest of the week, where we'll have more shows from our Where Are They Now series.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.